Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, April 15th. And here we are headed towards what the world knows as Easter Sunday. By the way, tomorrow is the birthday of Brother Zachary Barnett and Brother Herbert Williamson. We wish both of them a happy birthday. Now we're going to go to a good song, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Well, it is time to look in the scriptures now. We are still in the book of 1 John chapter number 2, and we're looking at that last portion of scripture, verses 18 through 29, the entire section. Now today's message is going to be dealing especially with verses 24 through 26. I'm speaking on the point, don't get discouraged. We're talking about the either-or principles of John. Either you are serving the Lord, following the Lord Jesus, or you are serving and following the Antichrist. But we're talking about don't get discouraged. We've been dealing with some of the fellowship that we have, and today we're going to talk about the fact that we not only have a fellowship, we have a relationship. And now what we need is to establish a stability. We're going to be talking about the fact that we need to hold firmly to the simplicity of the gospel. And verse number 25 on today's broadcast, we're talking about the fact that it includes the promise and he that promised. Not only you got the promise of eternal life, but you've got the one that makes that promise. And so we're going to be talking about that today on the broadcast. And I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you want to be turning in your Bible, 1 John chapter number 2, as we're studying through the book of 1 John, and verse number 18, where we start our reading as we normally do, and read down from verse 18 down through verse number 29. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now we've studied those verses verse by verse. Verse 24 we touched on in our last Wednesday night service that I preached, which was verse 24 is what I want to look at again tonight. And down through verse number 26, the Bible says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Let's read on through the chapter. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye have not need that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and be not ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. I want to, as I said, primarily focus on verse 24, 25, and 26 for my thought tonight. Seducers are a lot more difficult to detect because they may agree, they may appear to agree with what you're saying. They may appear to agree with the gospel message, but actually they're seeking to pervert it. They're seeking to twist it a little bit, to add on their little bit and put in those things that actually make the gospel ineffective. Amen. Makes the gospel ineffective.
Another danger of these seducers that wish to subvert the gospel and the Christian, listen to this now, is that God never said persecution will increase, but he said seducers will. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. You hold your place in 1 John. We'll go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. There's two verses. I was looking for the second one when I saw the connection with the first. It's all part of a sentence. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 12. It's two sentences. It's part of a thought. All right. He says in verse number 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there's persecution. But the next verse, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So God said every Christian, obviously, is going to face some persecution. Amen. Somebody's going to oppose you. It may not be that they're going to chop your head off, although that day may come. It may just be they slam the door in your face. They say, I don't want to be your friend anymore. If you're going to be that ignorant, you're going to be that closed-minded, you're going to be that old-fashioned, fuddy-duddy, get in the cult, I don't want any part of it. Amen. And they may, that's persecution to some degree. Amen. Sometimes people say things and they say it just so you'll hear it. But the Bible says we're all going to face it somewhere or other. It may be in your own family. Amen. Right. It may be from people you work with or friends that you used to run with. Or it can come from a thousand different ways, but you're going to face it somewhere. But John said, we're all going to face it. I'm sorry, Timothy, Paul told Timothy, we're all going to face it, and it's God saying it. But he said this, he said, but evil men and seducers are going to turn up the volume, if I could say it that way. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Don't you? You know church history. You know that in the early days they were martyrs. They were hated. They were persecuted by the Jews. They were persecuted by the Romans. They were persecuted by every idolatrous heathen nation that they came from. They were persecuted by the Catholic Church. They were persecuted in a thousand different ways. But then after a little while, some of that persecution sort of died down a little bit. You know what happened? Deception started creeping in. Deceivers started coming along. They started twisting the gospel, twisting the truth, and adding in their false doctrine to go along with it. Amen. Right. And evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse. Amen. It seems to me that Satan has determined that his best strategy is not to fight against the truth and the preaching, but to infiltrate the preaching and the teaching. Amen. That's why, listen to me now, that's why Bible preaching and teaching is so important. Amen. That's why you need to be under the sound of the King James Bible. Amen. You not only need to be reading it yourself, you need to be sitting under the teacher. By the way, that's why you ought to go to Sunday school. Amen. And worship service. And Sunday night service. And midweek service. And revival services. You need it. You need that teaching. Because the devil is out there subverting and twisting. And you better be careful at the voices you hear. If you listen to some on what's supposed to be gospel radio, on some of them. If you listen to some, it's what's supposed to be gospel television on some. If you listen to some on YouTube or on the Facebook or on the, all these different ways that you got means of getting sermons, you got to be careful what you're listening to. Amen. Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. Now, I'm back to my point and I'm almost done for tonight. But I'm back to what the Apostle John, I believe God's using him to point to these newborn believers. I think it's very, as I study this, I thought it's very interesting to me that we had all these young men make profession on Sunday night, and that's what we're dealing with, these young converts. And he's telling them to pay attention to what is written. Look back at verse number, let me get back here and find it myself, in verse number, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. Yeah, there we go. Pay attention to what is written. He said, I write unto you, little children. He said you need to pay attention to what's written. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Amen. What's John said? John said, pay attention to what I write. Pay attention to what is written. Amen. Go back to the word of God. You remember when the devil attacked our Lord Jesus on that 40-day fast, and those 40 days of temptation in the wilderness? Jesus, you know what he leaned on? What was written in the word of God. Amen. Lean on the written word of God. Amen. I believe it's important that young converts get baptized and join the local church. That's important. But I'm going to tell you what you need more than you need to be baptized in that water. You need to be bathed in the water of this book. Amen. Bathed in the water of this book. You ought to have a love and a hunger for this book. You ought to have an insatiable appetite to find out what that Bible says. Amen. Amen. Get in the Bible, because that's what will ground you. Pay attention to what is written. And so John said, I've written these things for you. Why? Because you need what's written in this book. Amen. He's talking to these young converts, little children, about a personal experience. He says in verse number 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Thank God, sins are forgiven. We've experienced salvation. Our sins are gone. Amen. He says in verse number 13, the last phrase there, I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. An experience. You've got a relationship with God the Father. There is a personal experience. Amen. Not riding on somebody else's experience. Not trying to copy somebody else. You've got a personal relationship with the Father. A personal experience of sins being forgiven. Amen. By the way, that is the beginning of eternal life in every case. Nobody gets in any other way. Amen. You got to deal with your sin, and you got to deal with God the Father. Amen. And for you to do that, you got to come through the Son. That's right. There's no other way. Something must be done with sin. People say, well, I just decided to live for Jesus and I'll just carry on my sin. No, you can't get to heaven with all those sins on your back. Something's got to be done with those sins. Amen. Jesus deals with your sin. Thank God. Amen. But he mentions the next step. And by the way, every young Christian ought to desire to mature to be a young man in Christ. That strong soldier ought to move from being a babe to being a soldier of the cross. Amen. And so he's talking about moving up from being little children to moving to be young men. What is the emphasis of the stage of those young men? Again, look at verse number 13. In the middle of that, he said, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Amen. They're overcomers. They are soldiers. Now look at verse number 14. He says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. I underline that phrase, the word of God abideth in you. Amen. These men that are young men in the faith are overcomers. They have moved on from an experience to an expertise. Amen. They have moved on from being introduced to actually being involved in this Christian life. Amen. They have an expertise with what? With the Word of God. That's what he said. The Word of God is in you, and you can overcome with the Word of God. Amen. Now, I'm gonna close with this thought, and I wanna leave with you tonight this point. And I believe it's right here in the scriptures and where God brought us to. But I want to leave you with a hunger and a desire to grow in grace. You know how you grow in grace? Peter talked about, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you get knowledge about Jesus? You don't get it from reading some hippie's book. You get it from reading the Bible. Amen. One fellow tried to make a big deal. He said, you know, he believed Elvis was saved because when he died, he was reading a book about Jesus. But he wasn't reading the Bible. He was reading a New Age book about Jesus. A hippie book about Jesus. I'm not trying to say where Elvis is. That we'll face him at the judgment. And we can't do nothing about where he's at anyway. But I'm talking about me and you, where we are. How do you learn about Jesus? You don't learn about Jesus by listening to what everything the world's putting out, by watching these movies, these quote-unquote Christian movies. Amen. I can say a lot of things about that. I told someone back when that movie, The Passion, came out on Main Street of Wilkesboro. I was working across the street from the theater, and I was doing drywall work in a photography studio, and they was putting down new flooring, hardwood flooring as well. The man putting down hardwood flooring was a Baptist preacher. He was a primitive Baptist preacher. Him and his boys laying down that hardwood flooring. And the lady that owned the place was an Episcopalian. And she said, "Are you fellas going to go see the movie, The Passion of Christ?" And by the way, across the street, the movie was going on. There's church bus after church bus dropping off their young people. I'm talking independent Baptists. Church bus is going to see that movie. Rated R, by the way. Amen. I never saw it. I ain't interested in seeing it. But anyway, here's what I said to her. I said, "Ma'am, if Hollywood," I said, "I don't trust Hollywood. I've read the book. I don't need to watch the movie." Usually, amen. Whenever you ever read the movie ain't never as good as the book is, especially when it's this book. Amen. But I said, "I've read the book. I don't need to see the movie." And I said, "I don't trust Hollywood. If Hollywood can't get a movie about Ronald Reagan right, why do I believe they can get a movie about Jesus Christ right?" Amen. That's what I told her. And she said, that preacher said, he said, "Well, Billy Graham said it was great." I said, "Yeah, and Billy Graham said the Pope was great too." That's what I told him. Amen. He's not too good of a judge of character, in my opinion. But I went back to vision, and I read the scripture where here's what our Lord said. Our Lord said that in the last days there'd be many Christs. And they'd say, "Lo, here is Christ. Lo, there is Christ." He said, "Go not out to see them." I said, "When they say Christ is at the Liberty Theater, don't go see them, because it ain't Christ. It's an antichrist." Amen. Why did I say all that? Here's why. Don't think that you're going to learn about God from Hollywood. Don't think you're going to learn about God from these New York Times bestsellers. You're not going to learn about God from them. The Da Vinci Code and all that. I mean, just go right on down the list. Amen. You're not going to learn about God from those books. You learn about God from this book. Amen. I'm not saying it's not all right to read some commentaries or read some, but you got to be careful who you read after, by the way. Amen. Amen. Anyway, but read your Bible. Get in your Bible. Strengthen yourself by engulfing yourself in the Word of God. Amen. You don't have to follow the crowds. You don't have to follow the culture. You don't have to follow men. You can follow the Lord through the Word of God. Amen. Now, having said that, that's not to say that you don't need the church. Amen. It's not to say that you don't need a preacher. You do need those things. Amen. But when you're looking for a church, look for one that preaches the Bible. That the Bible's more than just something they decorate with.
Right.
The Bible's actually something they study, something they read, something they preach. Amen. And when you're looking for a teacher or a preacher, look for one that teaches and preaches the Word of God. Amen. You'll find your guidance through the Word of God. The Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth if you're saved. You know how He guides you? Through the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm convinced that one of the major reasons, if not the major reason, why so many people today are seduced away from the truth is because they've never read it for themselves. You'd be surprised how many people have never read their Bible one time. Amen. Maybe they've read it one time. Need to read it again. Need to read it again. You say, "Preacher, what's the impact of reading the Bible?" It is the Word of God, and when you wash in that Word of God, even though you may not retain it, it'll cleanse you and it'll help you. Amen. You'll gain strength from that Word of God. I want to encourage you to get in the Bible. Read it and study it. Study it for yourself. Amen. Those Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they heard the preaching. I mean, great preaching. But they searched the Scriptures to see whether or not these things were so. Amen. I encourage you to do that. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says this, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." That's the first part of that verse. It goes on to say more. God talking about the judgment He's going to send. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Amos chapter 8 verses 11 and 12. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east, and shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." What's John's advice to these young men? He said, "I've written these things to you Because you need to know what's written in that book. Because you need to be engulfed in the Word of God. You need to hide the Word of God in your heart and just be consumed by the Word of God that you can stand and withstand in the enemy when he approaches. Because they're going to come. We're going to have persecution. And evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I'll say this, it's probably worse as far as seduction. Deception is worse today than it was 20 years ago. And if Jesus don't come in 20 years, it'll be worse then than it is today. Amen. How are we going to stand? It's not by our intellect. It's by this book.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. As that concludes another week of radio broadcasting, we do hope you have a great weekend. I hope you'll be in the house of God on the Lord's Day. And I'd love to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, located at 1415 Island Ford Road here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Our Sunday morning service, Sunday school starts up at 10:15 a.m., and then the preaching time at 11:05 a.m. as well. Sunday evening service is at 6:30 p.m. And this coming Lord's Day is known around the world as Easter Sunday. We like to call it Resurrection Day. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And I'm not going to be here. I'm actually away preaching a revival in West Monroe, Louisiana. Hope you'll pray for me there. But we've got special guests lined up to be with us. Brother Randy Bryson from over in McQuaidie, Kentucky, is going to be preaching for us on Sunday morning. And then Brother Larry Wells from over in Newport, Tennessee, will be with us on Sunday night. Love to have you come and be part of those with us. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.